This morning's reading is only a short one, just three verses, but is beholden upon us all to read and take in every word that God gives us. In today's reading, Matthew chapter 11 and verses 28 to 30, which we have read before, not so long ago, but it's good to have us, our minds reminded. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Morning. G'day, I'm Scott. I haven't been around the last little while, if I haven't met you yet and you're new. I'd love to meet you over morning tea. It's so great to have you with us. As just Han said, it'd be helpful to have that passage open, Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Let me pray and ask God for his help. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this incredible invitation of Jesus. And we pray this morning that we will come to know just how wonderful it is to leave here this morning refreshed, enjoying the rest that he gives as we engage in the work that he's called us to. Amen. Well, I wonder if you ever feel like this. Yeah, you know, some nods. You know, a little, become a bit more responsive here, guys. Or maybe you feel a little more like this. It's so heavy, I'm just imagining little legs kind of running in the air and going nowhere. I mean, life is full on, isn't it? There are so many obligations and pressures that just pile up on us. They can either weigh us down and threaten to crush us, or leave us kind of dangling there like that donkey, helpless and unable to really do anything. See, all too well, we know what it is to be weary and burdened, don't we? So when we hear Jesus' invitation to come and find rest, it sounds amazing. Come to me, says Jesus, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I mean, if you're feeling weary and burdened, honestly, what could be better? There's nothing better you could offer me in this world than the rest that Jesus offers. But does this promise really add up? Does Jesus really deliver? Isn't this invitation too good to be true? I mean, I think if we're honest, most of us probably feel like, yeah, but where's the catch, Jesus? And actually, the next sentence seems to be it, doesn't it? Because after inviting us to rest, he then brings an obligation. Take my yoke upon you. Now, if you're imagining Jesus cracking on like a gooey yellow middle of an egg on your head, that's the wrong kind of yoke. It's spelled differently. This is a yoke. That sort of wooden bar that goes across your shoulder. And the whole point of a yoke is that you can carry heavier stuff, right? So the whole point of a yoke is to bind a burden to you, to give you hard work. Jesus has just invited us to come and find rest and then told us to take a heavy burden. Well, it seems like a bit of a bait and switch, doesn't it? And it can seem like it. It can seem like actually coming to Jesus, following him, being his disciple, just adds more burdens and pressures and can leave us feeling like we're more overloaded. Serving and giving, showing hospitality, meeting with people, meeting on Sundays, meeting in growth groups, reading, praying, and on and on. Sometimes following Jesus can seem more exhausting than life ever was before. So how can Jesus' yoke possibly be rest? I want you to just think for a moment, so go through your mind and think, who was the hardest master or the harshest master that you've ever had? The harshest master. They might have been an employer, a boss, maybe a sports coach or a teacher, or maybe a parent. just picture in your mind the harshest master you've ever had. Now picture the best master you've ever had. Quite a difference, isn't there? It's amazing, isn't it, that a harsh master can give you a light task, a small task, and a harsh master with a light task actually feels like a heavy one. But the opposite's true too, isn't it? A gentle master can make a heavy task seem like a light one. When there's someone you just can't stand because they're awful and they're unkind and they're hard and they're unfair, they ask you to do something little, it feels like a big effort. But if someone who loves you and cares for you and invests in you and looks after you asks you to do something that's actually pretty big because of your love for them, because of who they are, that heavy task can seem quite light. See, Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light, not because he will never call on us to do something hard or heavy or costly or painful. No, Jesus' yoke is easy and his burden is light because he's the kind of master that makes the hard seem easy and the heavy seem light. Because he is gentle and humble. Have a look there. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, when my kids get themselves into a bit of a mess or a pickle, over something, I've, you know, probably told them, whatever you do, don't do that. You know, they've been stupid, they've been disobedient, you know, been whatever, and they, you know, they've gotten in a mess. I don't know about you, but I find it really hard to be gentle with them at that moment. You know, a genuine mistake, sure, you know, that's right. But doing something really dumb and they get in a mess, it's hard to be gentle at that moment. And I constantly get myself in a mess by being twice as stupid or stubborn or disobedient as my kids are. And yet where I find it hard to be gentle, Jesus is always gentle. Jesus is continuously gentle to us in all of our weakness and stupidity, our sin and our rebellion, our ignoring him. He is the good shepherd. The shepherd who doesn't beat his sheep, even though we constantly wander. He doesn't zap us with a cattle prod, even though we keep headbutting him. He is the kind of shepherd that searches for that wandering lost sheep, picks them up in his arms and gently carries them home. See, Jesus is the only master who will never treat you harshly, who will never get angry at your weakness, who will never expect you to carry more than you can bear. See, Jesus' yoke is easy because of his gentleness. His burden is light because of his humility. Now, if you're a reader, I've got a great book for you. If you're not a reader, I've got a great book for you. Probably one of the best Christian books I think you could ever read is this book, Serving Without Sinking, by a guy called John Hindley. And listen to this. This is what John has to say about Jesus' invitation here. Quotes up on the screen. Jesus is not saying, "Follow me so you can serve me. After all, I'm the eternal, all-powerful Son of Man. Now let me tell you what to do." He is saying something almost impossible to believe. Jesus is saying, "Follow me and I will serve you." And again, Jesus' greatness is not that he can command the service of millions. His greatness is that he serves millions. See, Jesus is so humble that even though he is the divine Son of God, the one who spoke the stars and planets and the atoms into being, came in to this world he created to be born a human, to give himself to be humiliated, beaten, crushed, and killed, to rescue ungrateful, unlovely, undeserving creatures, even though this mess was entirely our fault. See, that's how gentle and humble he is. And you know, at the end of the day, he's actually not a master who needs us to serve him. Unlike the Pharaoh who needed slaves to build his pyramids, Jesus doesn't need us. He doesn't need me, he doesn't need you to serve him. The thing that he wants most for us is that we come to him to be served. And you know, he serves us so much that even the burden, the yoke that he's given us, he helps us carry it. By his Spirit, he shares that burden that he's given us, the work that he's given us to do. He gives us the strength and the power and the help and the support we need to bear that load. We don't take that yoke alone. Again, in that book, John says, perhaps you feel burdened, weighed down, embittered, or puffed up even by church commitments. If Sunday provokes dread or annoyance or pride or weariness, come to Jesus. He doesn't call you to come and serve him. He calls you to see that he came to serve you. It's only if we see that first and foremost, that we are not servants, we are served, that we can know the joyful freedom of the Christian life. And as we do that, we'll find that we serve like we never served before. Jesus' yoke is easy. His burden is light, because he is the gentle and humble master who serves us. And so now we can serve, not because he needs us, not out of obligation, but out of love. The last few weeks, I've been really tangibly, visibly reminded of the way that love leads people to serve in just incredibly generous and wonderful ways. It's incredible how willing people are to do incredible things, hard things, costly things, when they're motivated by love. Whether it's your parent or your daughter or your friend, it's incredible how much love can make even hard and costly service to them a joy. Helping when we help out of obligation feels like a chore. But helping out of love, well, it can be a delight, can't it? It's about the nature and the depth of the relationship that we have. So what's our relationship with Jesus is like an ogre, a bit like an onion. There are many layers. Are we back? We're back. All right, are we back up here? We've lost our onion, I'm afraid. Just imagine an onion with many layers. And the first layer we've seen is a servant. We are his servants. We serve him, workers under his authority. And Luke 17 verse 10 reminds us, Jesus said, so you also, when you've done everything you're told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants. We've only done our duty. But then the next layer is that we are citizens of his kingdom. We gladly serve as those who benefit from his wonderful rule. We read in Ephesians 2 that we are no longer foreigners and strangers, but now we are citizens with God's people. And then as we peel down our onion to the next layer, we see that we are disciples. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me." Well, what does it mean to be a disciple? It means to be a student, an apprentice, and a partner in his ministry. See, that means that Jesus' burden becomes our burden. And so the burden that Jesus has laid on us is the same burden that he has had for all eternity. The burden to bring people to salvation. The burden to grow his church. The burden to work in his field and his kingdom. And what better thing could there be to do? What more valuable, wonderful thing could there be to invest in his eternal kingdom? It's an incredible joy to serve God's people. An incredible joy to help people come to know their Lord and Saviour. But more than servants and citizens and disciples, Jesus tells us that we are his friends. John 15:15, if we've got it. Jesus said, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you." See, Jesus is no distant boss. We're not working for the man. We work for our dearest friend. And he doesn't tell us just to blindly obey and get on with it and don't ask questions. He's actually told us where the story is going. He's told us what he's doing. He's told us what our labor is achieving, a glorious and eternal kingdom. And how much different is it to work not as a servant but for a friend, for someone who actually counts you as a friend so much that they gave their life to save you? But then even closer than a friend, Jesus calls us his bride. See, Jesus is our fiancé. He loved us and chose us even though there was nothing attractive about us, and he betrothed us to himself, and he's wed himself to us, giving up his life to make us pure and holy. And he wooed us and showered us with his affections. And we've got this quote here again, picking up there from Revelation 19, the fine linen was given to the bride to wear, which is the works of God's holy people. The righteous deeds of the saints, the good things we do in the service of Jesus, are a huge investment of our time, our money, our sweat, and even sometimes our tears. But they are meant to be a delight to us. They, the good works that we do, this yoke that we carry, they are our wedding dress. They are our glory. They are Jesus' gift to us, because he has broken with tradition and not only seen the dress, but made it himself as beautifully as only the creator of sunsets and stars can. See, Jesus is the husband who loves us and gave up his life for us to make us beautiful. And lastly, he calls us his children. The Spirit that you receive does not make you slaves so you live in fear. Rather, the Spirit you received brought your adoption to sonship. And by him, Jesus, we cry, "Abba, Father." The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit we are God's children. And if we are his children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. See, we serve not only our Master, not only our Lord, not only our friend, not only our husband, but we serve our Father who loved us and adopted us though we didn't deserve to be called his children. We serve him knowing that this yoke is for our benefit and for the good of all of God's people. See, when we have this kind of relationship with God, taking his yoke is rest. It is pleasure. It is energy and life-giving. It is a great joy. But it's easy, isn't it, for errors to creep into our thinking we can lose sight of this relationship and the serving becomes a burden. So this last little part, I'm going to think of just some of the errors that we fall into. I'm just going to tell some little made-up stories. Any names that correlate is totally coincidence. Sorry, Stuart. Stuart had started coming to church with his wife as an agnostic. In time, Stuart came to enjoy and value the community and the friendships he found. He joined a growth group and a serving team, partly for social reasons, but partly because he felt like he was expected to and his wife was giving him the hard time. And after he'd been around for a while, no one had actually ever explained to him that he needed to be converted. Everyone just treated him like he was part of the family. And he didn't mind helping at first, as long as it didn't take up too much time. But after a while, he decided it was eating too much into his golf, and he gave up serving and threw in the towel. And when he pulled out of the team, the pastor had a chat with him, only to discover that Stuart had never actually received the gospel. He was serving with no relationship with God at all, nothing but duty and obligation and self-interest. Tracy served hard. She taught kids' church. She helped with morning tea. She volunteered in the church office. She was always busy, but she still seemed to stick her hand up for all the responsibilities that came along. Tracy didn't want to let God down. She felt annoyed and frustrated with other people in the church who didn't seem to put their hands up for anything. She felt like she was doing God a favor, and she felt like she was being taken advantage of. She served and served until one day she felt like she'd given enough and she refused to ever serve anymore. And whenever anyone asked, hey, why don't you serve? She'd say, I've done my time. See, Tracy had made the mistake of thinking that Jesus' yoke was a debt to be paid, a kind of penance where she had to earn her right to rest. Tony came to Christ as a young adult. When he learned what Jesus had done for him, he was full of joy and eagerness to serve. He jumped into serving on the music team and playing the bass and then eventually running the team. It was hard to get new musicians and often he found he was on every week. The pastor and people at church often made comments about how church would probably collapse without him. It made him feel good at first, but after a while he just felt worn out. He dropped out of growth group to free up time for music, and he wasn't really spending any time in God's word or prayer or fellowship with other believers. And even when he came to church, he felt like all he was doing was serving and putting out and didn't have the ability or the time to just listen and feed on God's word. Tony had lost the joy in serving, and now he just served because he didn't want to let the church down. He was serving to please others. He'd forgotten that Jesus is more interested in serving him than in Tony serving Jesus. Gina led a growth group. She'd always struggled with doubts about her salvation and felt weak in her faith. She'd been a little surprised when the pastor asked her to lead, but she worked hard. She prepared well, and when she was leading growth group, it made her feel more confident about her salvation and her standing with God. When she led well, she felt strong in her faith, but on days when discussions didn't go well, or if she felt like she didn't really understand the passage, she wondered if she really was a disciple after all. When her group finally dissolved, Gina found herself in a cloud of doubt and discouragement. See, Gina had been serving to try and convince and prove to herself that she really was saved. And lastly, Ash had five kids. She couldn't do much formally at church, but she tried hard to invest in younger women and women who came to church alone. She'd catch up with them for coffee and invite them round and pray for them and call and check in and look out for them at church. Life was pretty tough, especially with one child with special needs. But she thanked God for what little she could do to love her family and grow disciples. Sometimes she could do more and sometimes she could do less. But she knew God was in control, and so she didn't worry about that. Sometimes it felt hard, but she reminded herself how Jesus served her, how she is loved, adopted, engaged to Jesus. She reminded herself that the work is eternal. And as she poured out her energy, his spirit filled her with energy to keep going, with joy and refreshment to keep serving. Now, we could think of other stories, and maybe you catch bits of yourself in some of those. I can tell you that at different times, they've all been me. And so a question I have for you today is, what errors do you most fall into that take Jesus' yoke from light and make it seem heavy? What errors do you fall into that make Jesus' yoke seem like a burden? Let me leave us with these words from Hebrews chapter 12. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart.